would you introduce yourself, please?
I'm Gina Schock. I drum in a band called The Go-Go's, and it's been a wonderful life.
Everybody starts the story at, I left Baltimore. But you left Baltimore one time before you went back to your parents.
Yes.
To say, I'm leaving Baltimore.
I did, and that was, fortunately, I was good friends with Edith Massey, who was the film star of John Waters films. She was the egg lady.
So you met her.
Yeah,
And you went on a road trip.
I went on a road trip, and I played in Philly. I forget what club, but then we played in Max's Kansas City in New York City.
Wow.
Then I got on my first time I'd ever been on a plane. I was 21, and we flew to Los Angeles, and we did three shows at the Newark Theater here.
Wow.
And then we flew up to San Francisco and did a show at the Warfield, and then flew back to Baltimore. And when I got back, you know, I had an epiphany. I knew this was it. It was time to go. I was going to, you know, I was just biding my time, saving, going to save money. And then I'm going to go back to New York. I'm going to go to LA. I'm going to go to San Francisco and figure out where I can make it, because I was going to get out. I had to get out of Baltimore. Not that there's anything wrong with Baltimore, but it wasn't, you know, as far as the music business, which I wanted to be a part of, there was nothing happening.
Yeah, I was just going to say, who was a big band from Baltimore?
Okay, so Frank Zappa was from Baltimore.
Legit, okay.
Yeah. Joan Jett from Columbia, Maryland.
Legit, okay. Interesting. But they didn't stay. The interesting thing is...
No, everybody leaves because you have to... Wait a minute. You know who else... Oh, what was his name? He moved to San Francisco. Everybody who died.
Jim Carroll.
He was from Baltimore. Yeah.
So you go to your parents.
Oh. So
and you say,
I came
Mom
back.
And Dad.
Mom and Dad, I'm going to leave. I'm going to follow my... dream. I've got to go to one of these cities. So I went to San Francisco, went to LA, went to New York, spent a couple weeks in each place, came back, and then it was like LA is going to be the spot because the cost of living there, I can manage it. It was thriving.
Yes.
It was thriving. And it was thriving in New York, but it was a different kind of a thing there. It was to me, the biggest difference was in New York, it was very competitive. Out here, it was very inclusive. When you came in here, everybody, you know, hey, come on, let's go hang out. Let's go see our friend's band play at 7. Oh, then there's another show at 9. And it's 11 o'clock. We'll go see, you know. And so everybody supported each other. And that was easy to see.
I think your first show was Led Zeppelin and The Who.
Yeah, it was Led Zeppelin opening for The Who in 1969 at Merriweather Post Pavilion. Seats were $350.
So how did that segue to punk? How did hard rock... Or whatever you want to call
it. Because music is music, and it touches us all, and you can't help the way it affects you, especially if you're someone like myself. I mean, I can't help it. It's just who I am and what I love and what makes me want to get up every day and open my eyes and breathe and be thankful. So, you know, at the age of 11, when I saw those two bands, I knew that that's what I wanted to do. I was like, oh my God. And so there's that. And then when I, you know, as I got a little older, the punk scene was happening in my late teens. And, you know, I was really into that. I was interested. I loved the Ramones. I loved Blondie, all that. Okay, so it's all going on, right? And I would fly up to New York, not fly, get in my Ford Maverick and drive up to New York City on weekends when I was like 18, because back then when you were 18, you could drink.
That's right.
Okay. So I would go up there with a friend and hang out at CBGB's.
A book.
Book, yeah.
A gallery show.
Yeah.
Paintings.
Yeah.
Lots of songs for others.
Yes.
I mean, holy moly, you haven't done enough.
Well, you know what?
You need to really expand your horizon, Gina.
And so I say this to you, my friend. Look, you know what? You surprise yourself. I've said this many times. You surprise yourself with your capabilities. You don't know until, you know, you might have interest in certain things. And then when you actually go after them and spend some real time you invest some real time into whatever it is that you're interested in,
it actually happens.
It can happen. And I have been fortunate enough to have several things that I feel that I'm quite good at. And I don't know how that happens, but
it does.
I'm grateful.
You're self-taught. When did you know you had a style?
I can tell you one thing. The first time I picked up drumsticks and tried to play with one of my favorite songs, which I can't remember what it was, I knew immediately that that's what I was going to be doing. I knew that that was the instrument.
It a catharsis?
Yeah, I was, you know, I'd played bass, I'd played guitar,
right.
And I'd taken guitar lessons, and I didn't have the patience for it. And I thought, oh God, I'll try drums. I'll just save my allowance and I'll buy drums and I'll try that. And every day when I'd come home from school, I'd put headphones on and I'd play with my favorite records. I did it with guitar, I did it with bass. And when I got the drums, I didn't have to think. My body just made the right moves at the right time. And I knew that was it. Now, as far as my style goes, that's all the years of everything that I've ever heard is who and what my style is now and for many years.
But isn't that what you're supposed to do? You're supposed to absorb a ton and then
yes.
It comes out as you eventually.
Yeah. And I think that if most players were honest, they'd all say that.
So we live here. They probably have seen a lot of pictures of the Sunset Strip.
Yeah.
But I cannot imagine that any of those pictures that stand still could exude what it was like standing outside the Whiskey or the Roxy.
Yeah,
the energy that came out there.
It was electric. It was explosive. It was a point in time that, of course, will never be repeated. And it was an incredible scene that was happening. You know, you could go down to Gazzars and see a hair band, or you could go to the Whiskey or the Roxy and see a punk band. And any night of the week, it was different all the time. There was no pay to play. People, you know, you got paid to do a show, or you got in for free or whatever, and all your friends came. And then things just got bigger and bigger, and because the scene got bigger and bigger. Ultimately, let's be real. I wasn't in that band to make friends. I was in that band to be successful.
I love
that. I'm going to tell the truth. You know,
I love that, though.
I mean, I came from Baltimore on a mission, and I wanted to be a rock star, and I wanted to be in a band that was successful, and I was ready to, you know, mow anybody down that didn't have the same objective as I did. And, you know, thankfully, the band like sort of hopped on board with my work ethic and everything. They were like, you know, they started wanting to rehearse a lot. They saw the difference that it made instead of, you know, rehearsing a couple times a month, rehearsing 5 days a week. Whoa, what a difference. Oh, wow, we got some great songwriters in this band. Oh, you know, people can kind of play their instrument better than we thought they could. Now, with Margo wanted to stay a punk band. And we were evolving into, I don't know what the hell you want to call it. We were just evolving. And to me, my favorite kind of music are always these fabulous vocal melodies with, you know, hard driving music. I really like that. You know, that's what moves me. And that's what we were doing. It might have been fast. It might have been punk, but it was these gorgeous pop melodies. And our audience started getting bigger and bigger, and Margo was not up for that. She wanted to stay hardcore punk.
What the Go-Go's had, obviously you had the technical skills. You built the technical skills, you got tight.
Jane and Charlotte, you know, that first record was massive. Those songs were brilliant. And they came from it was a very organic place. It was so real. It was a lifetime, like, you know, your first record. We've heard that a million times. If your life, do you have your whole life to write that first album? Well, they were just great. But what it was about was the combination of the five of us interpreting
what you brought to it.
Whatever this, you know, seed of a song was into a rehearsal, and us, you know, working and working and working until we got it to a spot where we thought, wow, you know, we're ready to play this for an audience. We're ready to, or we're ready to play this for a record company or a producer, whatever. And so it was a lot of team, of teamwork. It was, we were a family. We're still a family. We worked on things, and I really pushed. I pushed hard for rehearsals, and I it paid off.
This thing, they sent it to me in time. I have plowed through it. I know there's 30,000 words in this thing.
I don't know how that happened.
I did not count. I know how it happened. I'm talking to you. I know exactly how it happened.
I didn't think I could write a book. But
people are not seeing this.
This is the perfect coffee table book, because you can open it up anywhere and begin to read. And, you know, yeah. This is like me just talking.
This is just so, and I'm not saying because you're sitting here. But it's pretty wonderful stuff. And it really...
Thank you.
You know, if there's any reason for getting, you know, book tour, whatever. But it's more about the things that are in here that are tricky stuff that you also went right for. You know, because you and the other women, you lived the life.
Okay.
And that does not mean necessarily sex, drugs, and rock and roll, but it means sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
And heavy
on the middle one.
And much more. You know,
and much more.
You know, life is happening all the time. And then, like, times 10, being in a band and being, you know, 21, 22, 23 years old, experiencing all of this, and not really knowing what to make of it, except to say that, oh, my God, it's the five of us against the world. We're having a great time. We're loving what we do. Okay, where are we going next? What are we doing? You know what? I don't regret one single thing.
Because video is being rolled.
Yeah.
Here's your photo op. Open this thing up.
Yeah.
And pick a page and tell me something that's not even in the words.
This photo is when I first came to LA in 1979. My teeth were all chipped up in the front. I was really high as a kite in this picture. And this was on the porch, the back porch of my friend Steve Martin. Not the Steve Martin, but a filmmaker Steve Martin.
Right.
That's a photo of me, rather, like extremely happy and high and feeling like I have arrived. I am in goddamn
Beverly. This is the moment.
I'm in Beverly Hills. I have just joined a band. I'm hanging out with John Doe and Egg Zine and these girls in a band that I adore. Oh, wow. It's happening for me. This is it.
Yeah. And you're like, my hair is my hair.
Yeah.
I don't really care about the makeup. Then, I just care about...
Look, I was a musician. All I cared about was just, you know, so you go from that to this.
Right, right.
Jane was like, okay, makeover to that.
Right?
To the bathroom of the whiskey.
There you go. I love
Gina,
that.
Gina, come over to the house. I'm cutting all your hair off and dyeing it black. And I was like, sure. I don't care, man. I just want to play music. And yeah, I fit in perfectly in this punk scene because I have a lot that I'm angry about. And I don't even know why. But you know what? I want to be. I'm here
we're
and
all,
I love it.
We're all angry.
I don't
angry.
Even know why. But it was, you know.
We're
was,
all angry. But you are also a... You're quite the songwriter.
I'm not quite the songwriter. No.
So Miley Cyrus, are you writing a song because you can't write a song?
I'm as good as the people that I work with. I'll be honest with you. I'm a team player. I wrote with these two guys, and the dude that was the head of A&R at the time heard the song Breakout and played it for Miley. Her record was already, it was probably almost done. And he was like, you got to record this. And she heard it. She loved it. So she went in and recorded. Actually, at the time, we were managed by Direct. And Bradford Cobb had just signed Katy Perry. And he said, please, Gina, please. This song's such a hit. Would you let Katy record it? And I said, I don't know. Bring her down to the studio. Let her record it. But then we got an offer we couldn't refuse from Disney. And so we gave it to Miley.
So you're making art, but you are not just doing art. You're doing art with a twist.
Yeah, it's...
tell everybody what this is.
So, you know, I had my book and my photographs, and then Wendell, my guy, and also he manages me, told me about this company called Scene 4, and they were working with different drummers in this really interesting art form. And so I said, okay, well, let me check it out. And I talked to the guys, and they showed me some of the stuff on Canvas, and I was knocked out. I was like, are you kidding me? It is so gorgeous, so colorful and vibrant.
It is really, really, really cool. Technicolor. Right. Plus.
Yeah, Technicolor. So I said, yeah, I want to do this. And Wendell went to them and said, oh, well, hey, do you have a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame person as a part of this, or drummer, or whatever? And they were like, yeah, we need like a female and who's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Anyway. So you like fit the demographic.
Yeah, so yeah, I did anyway.
That's cool.
So I met them at SIR Studios on Sunset, and the room was, you know, I sat down the drums, they turned off all the lights, they had these different color lights all around the room, and every time he would flash, every time he'd click on the camera, these different colors would flash. And I was playing, I had these LED drumsticks, and they would, when I whatever beat I was playing, whatever rhythm, you know, they were flashing the whole time, taking photographs. And it turned into this incredible musical, like, rhythmic experience that was mind-blowing. And the end result was like, whoa, I can't believe that came out of me, and this is the end result on Canvas. Oh, wow, cool. I'm so proud of this.
Are they going to make their way to other places? Are you going to tour this at all?
You bet. Well, I want to get out there and do, you know, my book tour, and I want to also do my gallery shows, which will be, you know, half of the room will be my photos, the other half will be my Canvas.
Talk about an immersive experience in Gina Shock.
Hey, you know what? Life is big.
It's shock treatment is
life
what it is.
Life is big, my friend, and you just got to throw yourself into things.
Well, speaking of which, I have a giant word here.
Yeah.
And that word is health. You have, I mean, your spirit, your energy, but you had a moment, well, you've had several, but you had one moment that was as dark as any human being could possibly have in their entire life.
Real. I was young, and I don't think I fully comprehended what was happening to me, because it was so surreal. It was like,
how's this even possible?
Like, yeah. How can I, what's wrong with my heart? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding? Are you joking? You know, we have to postpone this tour. I have to have heart surgery.
You're like wait, no. You're like, no, I'm not postponing the tour.
No, you know, no, but it felt like I was in a bad movie or something. And but we all got together, and everyone was very supportive of me during that period of time, even though we were kind of coming apart at the seams right about then. You know, I had heart surgery. I've had a couple operations. My body has been through a lot. I had a drug habit for about 10 years, which I overcame in 2001. And life... It's just about hanging in there for the ride, because I don't know what the hell everybody expects.
It's, well, what are the choices there?
Well, there's a lot of choices, actually. And if you are fortunate to have the right folks around you to help you make wise decisions, and that can start with your family, can start with your, you know, your friends, I don't know, wherever it comes from. But, you know, I've been lucky in my life.
So the Go-Go's are forever.
I'd say that.
I mean, it says it in there.
It says it in there.
It says it in there.
You can't always believe what's in print.
It's in print. Come on. You committed it to print.
It's what I feel. I think if you'd ask anybody in the band, really, if you'd have a real conversation with them, I'm sweating now. When we talk about the band, no, I'm just kidding. if you'd ask anybody, I don't know if they'd say that, but I say it. Some people in the band make these statements that are just absolutely ridiculous.
I can't imagine.
And you know, when
really?
It comes out of their mouth, you know that they're going to be like looking like a fool in 6 months. So I say, shut up and just... Let's just play.
So I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich. And what it is two of your songs on the outside. And then you get to pick anything you want to play in between.